Greetings and welcome to the Audio Tidbits Podcast Network. We hope you enjoy the show.
I'm Dr. Gary Crow, and this is How to Matter. Thanks for taking a few minutes to explore how to matter. Leadership is a pretty complex topic, and there are a lot of ways to think about it. Let's focus, though, on leadership styles. What I would like to suggest to you are six leadership styles that are each fairly distinct and recognizable. The first one has to do with what we might think of as the top dog type leader. It's a very heavy-handed, controlling, I'm in charge kind of approach. It works like this.
Top dog leadership.
If this is your style, you value a high level of personal control over indirect management of your followers. You work best with very cooperative followers and have low tolerance for non-compliance. You run a tight ship. Your followers typically defer to your perspective and are eager to do things your way. They tend to compete for your approval and may prioritize getting your blessing over getting the job done.
We've all certainly known a top dog leader or two along the way. The key, though, is that that type of leadership, as with other styles, has its upside and its downside. The second leadership style I'd like to suggest to you is what we might think of as lead dog leadership. It's the type of leader who values compliance, but also values people who are kindred spirits, people who are on the same page with the leader, people who move without too much direction, supervision, or control. It works like this.
Lead dog leadership.
You are a visionary who sets the organizational course. You reject the use of power and control, placing your faith in the goodwill and principled behavior of your followers. You favor followers who function well with minimal supervision and direction and who naturally see the validity of and value in following your vision. Your style is an excellent fit for kindred spirits but is less compatible for those who may occasionally question your vision or who desire more structure and guidance. Your followers may tend to separate into the consonant majority and the small but dissonant minority.
The third style is task leadership. That's a situation where the leader has very good skills, very good qualifications, and expects all of the people in the organization to have similarly good skills, similarly good ability to do what needs to be done. Skill and an ability to follow through with minimal supervision are highly valued. It works like this.
Task leadership.
Your strength is in getting the job done and depends on having qualified followers who are ready to work. Your followers are expected to bring the necessary expertise to each task and efficiently handle their piece of the project. This works especially well for followers who are expert at what they do and neither need or want direct supervision or involvement beyond their immediate tasks. It works less well for followers whose expertise may not be an exact fit with the current requirement, who value understanding how what they do fits in with the success of the larger organization, or who value social contact and interaction. It also may be less effective in the event the various elements of the enterprise experience minor to major disruption or variance from expectation.
The next leadership style is technical leadership. That is the resident expert model. The leader knows better. The leader knows how, more so than other people. The leader is someone who all you have to do is do as he or she does, and you'll be fine. The leader is the expert and expects everyone else to do it the way he or she does it. It works like this.
Technical leadership.
You know what needs done and how to do it. As the resident expert, your followers need only follow your instruction and direction. Your style is a particularly good fit for inexperienced followers who are eager to improve their skills and demonstrate their value to the organization. It also works well for more experienced followers who are comfortable deferring to superior knowledge and expertise. It may work less well for followers who value more autonomy and want to become experts in their own right, for those who value independence.
The fifth style is motivational leadership. In this mode, leaders lead by virtue of their personality, the force of their will, their general attractiveness to people. People simply want to follow them. They become excited and enthused and join in out of a sense of attachment, belonging, and identification. It works like this.
Motivational leadership.
Although you may not be especially charismatic, even a small measure of charisma adds to followers' attraction to you and to their desire to align. Your verbal and interpersonal presence are compelling and interject energy and want to as your followers coordinate their energy, interests, and aspirations with yours. This works well for motivating less engaged followers but may pull weaker and less centered followers into blindly following, with a minimal sense of consequences or personal responsibility.
The sixth leadership style emphasizes a continuing point. Leadership style has an upside and a downside. Values leadership is no exception. It works like this.
Values leadership.
Your strength is in showing followers why what they and you do is important, why it matters. This works well for followers whose personal views and priorities are already near alignment with yours. You have a knack for encouraging followers deeper into the fold. Alternatively, followers who are more diverse shy away from your leadership and over time, your organization tends to become more and more homogenized.
Of course, skilled leaders vary their style. They use one style sometimes, and another style at other times, depending on what they think is most appropriate. Unfortunately, though, in times of high stress, when organizational progress is not continuous, when things aren't going particularly well, leaders tend to revert to their preferred style. They move back to the given style, whether it is, at that particular time, the exact fit with what is needed. It works like this.
Although a few leaders may be restricted to one or more of the six styles, most blend all, depending on the situation or particular circumstance. Even so, leaders typically find their comfort zone limited to one or perhaps two styles. They consciously shift outside their comfort zones temporarily but cannot sustain the shift. Without high and continuous self-awareness, they drift toward one-dimensional leadership. This becomes especially pronounced during periods of organizational disruption, higher than usual personal stress, or when confronted with atypical or unfamiliar situations or circumstances.
There you have it, the six leadership styles. Each of us as leaders, of course, mix the styles given the situation or circumstances, but each of us has his or her preferred style. Even so, the question isn't so much what one's style is, but how one manages his or her style. I'm going to end with five questions that I hope you give due consideration, and I particularly hope that you give specific focus to the last question.
What is your preferred style, your comfort zone? What is the primary disadvantage or limitation of your preferred style? How do you detect a mismatch between your preferred style and the immediate situation? How do you assure you appropriately adjust your style to the current circumstance? Why would great people choose to follow you?
Thanks for joining me for this episode of How to Matter. I sure hope we have a chance to visit again soon.